for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's the Loveline.
Adam?
You do sound weird, yes. Yeah. You sound weird.
Well, I can't hear myself that well.
Are we all right now?
Yeah.
There we go.
No. Everything's the same.
It's good. We think we have two engineers.
Yeah.
That way nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Come on, buddy. Listen, they get a combined $11.75 an hour. Please.
Hey, thank you for defending them. It's good.
Let me tell you, radio.
Anderson, I'm going to take after you guys some more so make Adam defend you.
At radio, here's what radio is. A couple guys get paid a ton. That's me and you. No one else gets paid anything. The people that don't get paid anything resent the people that get paid a ton, like we should be cutting them in on it. Like, hey, buddy, you got money. And then the attitude is sort of like, hey, you know, if it works, it works. But if it doesn't, what are you going to do? You're going to fire me? I'll go to McDonald's. I'll go to Jack in the Box. I'll lose 35 cents an hour starting as a trainee at Jack in the Box.
Yep.
I mean, Chris, you get 10 bucks an hour, right?
Free T-shirts and stickers.
You get free T-shirts and stickers, but 10 bucks an hour. Right. Times 2 hours a night. Then take minus the tax. He owes $80 at the end of every month.
Don't you feel bad for franking on these guys all the time?
No. Because I'm keeping it real. Well, because I'm not kissing the ass of the rich man. I'm beating up on the little guy. Keeping it real. Melinda Clark is here tonight from the OC.
Hey.
Yeah.
How are you?
Looking good. We had Melinda on our Loveline, the TV show. Which we, from time to time, almost on a nightly basis, people point out to us. Oh, no, we did that.
This last couple of weeks, we got through a run of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've been down for a long time, but all of a sudden.
Yeah, now what show, we're trying to figure out what show she was plugging on our TV show, because it's always funny. It's 4 or 5 years ago, sometimes more, and there was another project they were working on. What was it?
It was 97. Jerry Bruckheimer did a show called Soldier of Fortune, and it was, you know,
we with other cast members.
Yeah, it was two other actors:
two
Brad Johnson, Tim Abel, and myself.
Yeah,
and we were the elite team of operatives.
And you were?
I was the chick with the gun.
And a lot of being dropped in.
Yeah.
Behind sort of enemy lines. A lot of repelling.
Plausible deniability.
A lot of...
that speech the colonel gives you before you leave, you understand if anything happens, we'll
deny.
Disavow all.
You never existed.
Yeah, exactly.
There's never any discussion, okay? Well, hold on. Now, let's say one of us gets wounded and gets caught.
Yeah.
And the other two, you can't find. Are you going to say you know the guy? There's never any residual conversation.
If you screw up, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't know who you are.
Yep.
All right. But the point is that's, you know what? That's like a cow chip that Melinda ran over many years ago, and now she's in her beautiful Cadillac looking at it in the rearview mirror laughing at the rappelling line with Bruckheimer at the end of it, right? Because now you've entered the OC.
Yes.
I love this show, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have you been watching?
No, not really. I got to be honest with you.
You know, I've been doing this. I keep asking people.
But I'll tell you what.
What we have seen, we like.
The people I like really like it. And that for me is good enough.
And we met a fair number of cast members whom we really like.
Yeah, you had Peter and Adam Brody on, which are two greatest.
Tremendous.
I bet they were great guests.
Oh, my God.
I called Adam on the way over here.
And what do you, what, really?
I said, I heard you did Loveline. Yes, I did.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he said it was great. He just said that if I didn't speak up, then I would never get a word in.
Yeah.
Even if you do speak up.
Why'd you let her finish that thought? You know how we are about that.
I know. I'm amazed she got it in. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It was impressed.
Wow, that's a slap in the face. I was in kiss-ass mode, but now I'm just...
Oh, no, I just repeated what he said.
No. I'm in neutral. And, you know, we can pop me in the first and get rolling again, or we could grind it in reverse.
Well, okay.
That'll be your decision.
I can't see you, though.
Here I am, baby.
Okay.
All right. So, the OC, Fox, 9 o'clock. I have seen the show Wednesday nights, by the way. I've seen it, and it's almost, You know what it is about the OC? I've not seen too many episodes. I'm glad to know what's out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the next incarnation on the frolicking shows.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really frolicking. It's better than frolicking.
We've had a void for a while.
Yeah.
There's been no Dynasty, no JR, Dallas, no 90210.
I like the Melrose Places Dynasties. I used to watch those shows.
Yeah. You get hooked. They suck you in.
Well, let me say this.
Knott's Landing.
Yeah. Well, let's just, now that we're going off on this tangent very quickly, which is, you know, people gotten snobby over the last few years about their entertainment. Some, you know, they must be uplifted, enlightened, informed, moved, you know. How about just being entertained?
Yeah.
I mean,
they have to teach you about the census or something.
Yeah, life's brutal enough. I mean, you want to go see, what movie did you see there? Mystic River?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavy. It's a great movie, but go home and turn on the news. You're going to, you know, come to this show. You get enough sexual abuse calls. I want something light. I want to see good-looking teenagers fighting. You know what I mean? Over chicks. Amanda?
Yeah.
Whoa.
All right, that was a mistake. Let me ask you something, Drew. Melinda? I was thinking about this on the way in.
Hmm.
Now, just free your mind for a second. Okay. Just really think about this for a second. Talking about TV for a second.
Yeah.
Has a dog ever been wrong in a movie? Now, let me set you the scenario. Young, attractive woman gets a new job, brings home a new guy from the office, says he's going to hook up her computer, comes into the apartment, and the dog starts growling. Dog doesn't like him. And she's like, Mitzi! He's never done that. And it turns out later, great guy.
Never happened.
Has it ever happened?
No.
Why can't a dog be wrong? Do you know what I mean?
The cats can be wrong.
Cats, you don't even ask. But the dog, so you see that in the movie, you go, okay, this guy.
Bad guy.
Comes the date rate.
It's convention,
20 minutes from now, we see the roofie going into the ginger ale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serve up my coffee.
I think it'd be nice if a dog was just wrong. Just growled at the wrong dude. The dog was just having a bad day.
Yeah.
I know this is sort of cerebral stuff, but really think about it. Has a dog ever been wrong in a movie?
I'm trying to think of it. Toto was right.
There's been bad dogs. There's been your Cujos. You know, there's bad dogs, but never wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the dog, he made the wrong call. Turns out he's wrong.
Turns out he's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He just wanted to hook up the Mac, and then he was on his way. Nothing.
Yeah.
Not so much as a handshake that he want. All right. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, so I play soccer, and one thing led to another, and I slept with my soccer ref.
Your soccer ref?
Yeah, the referee.
Really? Okay.
We're supposed to skip over the one thing led to another. What? How did this happen?
2 weeks ago. What happened?
Why didn't she say so?
Well, Drew, you should have asked when it happened, and then you would have got how it happened.
What?
Hey, listen. First off, what'd you do? Did you get spiked in the head, like blocking? Too many headers. Like what happened?
No, I was at a bar, and it was the third bar I was at, and he was with a bunch of. Like, my soccer friends knew him, and, like, one thing led to another. He looked really cute.
All right. Well, okay.
Just
so
him
what?
Back to my place.
That's fine.
Okay.
But let me ask you this, Amanda. What do you mean you're ref?
He's a soccer referee. Like, he calls our games.
Right. You say you're ref, like, he does every game that you do? You have the same referee for every game?
No, like, we have one of three.
Ooh.
And he does, like, almost all the home games.
Really? Get the same guy?
They switch off.
Not a lot of refs in Chicago, I guess.
Right. Hold on a second. Not a lot of straight guys wanting to ref female soccer. How many guys are you going to find? How low does your ref self-esteem have to be? I'm going to the girls' soccer.
Think about where this guy's getting, though, Adam.
Actually, that's smart.
Yeah, it's diabolical.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like acting class.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like dance class.
Uh-huh.
Or, that's smart.
See?
Yeah.
Mr. Wise Guy.
How old is he?
Let me see. Oh, 38, I think it says. Amanda?
That's a word.
Yeah.
38? Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until after.
All right. Well, you know, he's in good shape. The stripes are slimming.
Yes, yeah.
Vertical ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, look, you made a little mistake.
Right. But this is the thing that scares me. So this happens 1 week. The next week I go to the bars, whatever, and he's there again. I get drunk, whatever, and I'm like, you want to come back to my place? And I was on the phone with him. He was in a cab because he was going to, like, the fourth bar, and after the third bar, I was like, I'm going home. I'm drunk. So I call him. He's in the cab, and I'm just like, do you want to come back to my place? He's like, you know what? I would love to, but I can't tonight. And I'm like, why? And he goes, I can tomorrow. I'm like, why can't you come tonight, you know? And he's like, well, it's too personal for me to tell you right now because I don't want anyone else in the cab to hear. He goes, but I'll tell you tomorrow.
All right, so?
And so I call him the next day.
Is this story happening in real time? Like, I feel like it's been almost 24
hours. It's like an
OC
episode, yeah.
All right, what's up?
And so I call him the next day. He doesn't answer. I leave him a message, and it's like, hey, you know, like, what's going on? I'm like, hey, just give me a call, whatever. I see him at my soccer game. He looks at me, and he's like, hey, how are you doing, whatever. I call him, like, 5 days later.
Hold on, Drew. I'm going to go number two.
Whatever.
He won't answer me.
You cover for me?
Yeah.
And then I see him out in the bars. He, like, ignores me. I'm like, okay, like, does he have an STD?
All right.
Who cares?
All right.
He's just being a dude, man.
Yeah, this is what guys do. Well, first off, he's a 38-year-old guy.
Yeah.
He's reffing a chick junior soccer on the weekends. He's a loser.
No, it's college. Yeah.
College? What kind of college could you go to?
It's a D2 school in Chicago.
A B2?
Yeah, Division II.
D2.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not junior college?
No.
Wow.
Loyola, where do you go?
I can't tell you that.
All right.
Hang on.
So the problem is he's ignoring you?
No, the problem is I want to know what's wrong with him.
What's wrong with him?
Nothing's wrong with him.
Get yourself checked.
All that stuff in the cab, all that stuff was BS.
It's
that was
another
total
chick.
BS.
He was banging your goalie.
Yes, absolutely. Total BS.
Move on.
Yeah.
and man, I think you need to look into your alcohol relationship.
Yeah.
And the relationships that develop while you're under the influence of alcohol. And
it's
all
nice
that's
to know
about
that
alcoholism.
Jock chicks are stupid, too. It's not just that, stereotype
of a
300-pound black guy as if, you know, reads the fifth grade level. It's nice to know the chicks are dumb, too. You know, no one really thinks about that.
And don't single out certain races that are dumb.
Well, I said the stereotype.
I think the white guy's more the stereotype.
No. But are you kidding? How dare you attack us? The stereotype is the black guy who can barely string together a sentence, and push him all the way through, and he goes to the NFL. That's a stereotype. Please. Yeah, what do you think? It's the baseball players?
It's the white guys that are...
The white guys. Yeah, it's the scrappy 6-foot forwards who end up in the NBA.
The big linemen.
Oh, look, those guys are meatheads, but
right.
The stereotype...
That's what I'm saying.
Shut up, Drew. Tory,
19.
You know what? When you overcompensate that way, it's worse than
racism.
No, I
really mean...
Please.
Tory, 19.
Hi.
Hello.
What's happening?
I have a third nipple.
Mm. Fascinating.
We're talking about that last night, actually.
I know. You guys find it fascinating. I find it a little weird.
Bouncy. Yeah. All right.
And I was just wondering... Is it going to stay the same or?
Yes.
Right? Like, it gets hard when I get cold. Like,
really?
It does.
It's hooked up. Because aren't most third nipples like...
They're not developed enough. They're like a mole.
Yeah, you go to the IKEA, and you go look at some kitchen cabinets, and there's a microwave, and you walk up to it, and it's styrofoam.
Yeah.
It's not plugged in.
That's the way the third supernumerary nipples are.
Yeah, it's the third nipples. It's the styrofoam microwave or the computer at the computer desk in the office set at the IKEA. It's like, it looks good, but then you grab it, and it's not even plugged in. That's what it is.
Yes, supernumerary nipples are just like... Yeah. Moles, but
say that again.
Supernumerary nipples.
I like that.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, they are sometimes more developed than others, and they can sometimes get hard, and they can sometimes lactate.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's...
As Adam said,
I've seen it on men more often.
Really?
Just because they're naked on the beach, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, really?
I don't know, statistically.
I'm the missing that, you know, because I look a man in the eye when I speak to him. I'm not checking out his chest. You know, I look a fella right in the eye.
What if he had a third nipple?
I would probably notice it, but, well, first off, I got hair on my chest. I would comb. I would do like a nipple comb over. I would like,
you know, yeah, just of course,
style my hair over my nipple, pat it down a little.
Serious, of course.
Yeah, I would not.
And you know that,
it down.
That shoe polish they used to have you
top
put on your
coverage.
Top coverage. Yeah, you can
yeah
put that on
I would spray some of that on my supernumerary nipple.
Yeah.
And I could do like a chest comb over.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If it's hooked up, well, first off, wouldn't you get it removed or shouldn't you get it removed?
I think it's a fairly involved little operation if you have that.
If it's plumb.
Yeah, if it's.
Could it have it can have ducts attached to it and everything?
What's really interesting, I do not know any data on, but I wonder what the incidence of breast cancer is in those.
Oh.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Or
what
if you could breastfeed three.
No, I don't think so.
What line was she on, Drew?
Two.
No, I don't think so.
Two. Tori?
Yeah?
So, have you ever consulted with anyone about getting it removed?
No.
How dare you?
That's a crazy question.
In the past year, I just found out that it was a third nipple. My mom kind of just said, oh, you've had that since you were a baby.
Oh, thanks for the heads up, Ma.
It was a bruise.
A bruise? You thought it was a bruise?
It's about the size of the tip of my thumb. And it's
do you play soccer?
Color, and it's the same color as my nipple, but I never noticed until I really looked at it that when I get cold, it's like a goosebump and it gets hard.
I know, but what about the fact that you've had a bruise for 19 years that's never healed?
Back to primitive man again.
Does it alarm you at all?
Well, I don't know. I just kind of noticed it when I finally started looking at myself in the mirror. And you don't.
All right. Ah, listen, it must be nice. Let me just kind of cruise through life, huh? What? What? Middle East? What? What's going on over there? Who? Car bomb? That's world trade. What are you talking about? We're going to visit the trade center. We're going out to New York. What happened?
It's even more interesting.
Are you kidding me?
Her thing is that she makes meaning out of it based on things that she can't understand. Well, it's just a big goosebump. It's like a goosebump. What? It's a big deal. It's like she incorporates it into her thinking.
Well, it's obviously hereditary because Mom has been aware of this for 19 years and only yesterday had the sit down with the daughter.
I'm not sure it was a sit down. It was just sort of a hey,
probably
by the way.
Probably posted on the fridge.
Yeah.
Yo, tri-nip. Speaking of tri-nip, we're having tri-tip tonight.
Wow.
All right. You got to tell your kids about it. They got weird stuff. You got to say something, right? I mean, here's the thing. Melinda, do you have any kids?
I have a 4-year-old daughter.
All right. You give her a good looking over.
Of course.
And then you see, you know, any horns, any scales, any webs, a six-toe.
I notice every new freckle.
New freckles.
Like cancer.
Document. you get that all that stuff logged, and then, you know, when the time is right, you know, you start talking turkey with them.
Don't worry.
Nipple.
You'll do that automatically. But
yeah.
Tori's mom,
Yeah.
Tri-tip. Wait a minute. Oh, wait, that's right. I meant to tell Tori 19 years ago.
There's a lot of ignorance.
Justin? maybe it's a mix-up with the husband.
He was supposed to do it?
You told Tori, fifth birthday, right about the third? No, I thought you said... No, I was putting the pinata up. You said you were... Oh, Christ. I mean, it's been... Oh, this is embarrassing. Yeah. All right.
Well, honey, you do it.
Let's talk to Justin. Justin?
Hey.
19?
17.
Oh, yeah. It said that. What's up?
Hey, not much. First off, I wanted to let you guys know that you guys are the best. I listen to you guys every night.
Thanks.
This question is for Dr. Drew.
I
was wondering if it's okay to drink alcohol while you're on Accutane.
You can have some alcohol on Accutane. Well, first of all, you're 17, so I can't tell you to have any alcohol. But be that as it may, people can have a glass of wine a week kind of thing on Accutane without any concern. But it is a little tough on the liver, and Accutane is tough on your body in general. It's also tough on your... But I have lingering concerns about Accutane's effect on the central nervous system and the brain. And that combined with alcohol, to my estimation, has really unknown effects at this time. So there are concerns about it.
Are they concerns with young men?
In terms of suicide? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The suicide. But it affects people profoundly in their central nervous system, and that's not all been well studied yet. So I worry. Certainly to the point, it's not, definitely you shouldn't be consuming alcohol to the point of intoxication.
Okay. Well, like, it says on the back of the box and everything, not to take it, but,
it's a very toxic.
It's a very rough. Drug. It's a tough medicine. Mm-hmm. Tough medicine.
Hey, how about a little heads up with the, you know, there's the don't booze with the medication. We talk about this all the time. Some of them are don't booze because it'll supersize whatever the medication is.
Right.
Like if you're mildly jacked up, you will be majorly effed up. Mm-hmm. To me, that's something I, A, that's a trail I like to go down, and then B, that's my business.
Yeah.
I like to be effed up. Yeah. You know, that's for me. Yeah. But then there's some that'll destroy your liver, and they don't really
distinguish between the two.
They're just like, hey, don't drink. And like, I want the hey, don't drink because you're going to be super jacked up. Let's just have one have a picture of a liver with like a fist going into it.
No, like an M80.
Right.
Yeah, fuse going down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though, that the fuse going in the liver is going to be tough to read.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough to read. It's not going to read right.
Right.
How about just, you know, being stabbed like a crocheting needle or something?
Yeah.
You know, just pierced. Yeah. You know?
Does alcohol weaken antibiotics, things like that?
No. But it also, many of them are metabolized by the liver, and again, you're putting a stress on that system.
Same thing.
Yeah. And the other one should just be the, you know, the lampshade with the zoops coming off the guy's head. He's like holding the drinks, his arm around a couple of ladies.
Zoop. Curl the cues off the
that
head.
That means, hey, if you want to, you know, hey, if you're man enough, you know what I mean? Like, if you're heavyweight, drink up.
No, it should be a don't blame us.
Yeah.
That's really what they mean.
You
by
know,
that.
I always think about this. I've said to Drew, I want the heavyweight designation on my license. I don't want .08, not high enough for me. I drink. You know, I you know what I can do? I can maintain.
Yes.
Drew, back me up. I maintain.
Yes.
My mom has a thimble of NyQuil. She'd be all over the road.
Yeah.
She got behind the. My mom could barely drive as it is. She had if I drank a cap of NyQuil and farted on her, she would be all over the road. All over the road.
Inebriated.
I, couple of Vicodin, couple of Heinies, no problem. Still much better driver than my mom. But
right.
but technically, I'm over the legal limit. She's under.
Given that she drives the squareback VW and you the $70,000 sports car.
Yes. Literally a millionaire.
Literally a millionaire.
What you're saying. Yes.
There should be no difference between you guys when you're on the road.
All right.
There should be no
difference. Now he's trying to get me going because something I said the other night. But the point is why not the heavyweight designation?
A special test?
Yeah.
Well, a special note, a special flag on his car.
No, but you, yeah. Melinda's right.
But how do you show them that you can
do
a special test?
Yeah. You put the cones up.
Yeah.
You do it, you know.
Just keep doing a shot every 10 minutes.
You get the eight shots, and you're still able to back in. Or this is probably more stunt driving, pulling e-brakes in the rain, getting a spin and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I'm fine. Drew, you've seen me on the airplanes.
Yeah.
Right?
And your point?
A couple of highballs, couple of downers.
Yeah,
walking up and down the aisles, holding court.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to want to talk about your mom, your grandma.
Listen,
that's the problem.
The reason Alec Baldwin is on this show a year ago is because I talked that guy's ear off in the galley of like 747.
Oh.
I hadn't slept. I had like five boozes. I had a bunch of
that poor
NyQuil
man.
And Vicodin and stuff, and I was buff, just fine. I was the belle of the ball. All right, Drew. Let's just focus on that, would you? And let's get the labeling changed.
That's how he got through his recent custody hearings. It was nothing compared to what he put up with on the plane.
Anyway,
thank you for that.
I'm a big fan.
I'd actually want to take a ride with you on a plane, too.
You would?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love entertaining people on planes.
Here's the entertainment.
I'm great.
He will talk so incessantly that you'll find yourself looking forward, thinking just about imagining yourself jumping out of the plane and things, and then all of a sudden there'll be silence.
Hold
and you
on.
Look over, and he'll be wearing the lovey eye shades with his feet up with the Q sign.
There's
his tongue
a process
out.
To go.
It's instant.
How dare you? First off, Drew has the nerve to take his Scantron board test while he sits next to me on the airplane. So, you know how annoying it is to have a guy, you're getting drunk, you're complaining about the service, you want another thing of mixed nuts, and he's feverishly wearing out a number two pencil trying to get his Scantron sheets filled out because he's taking his boards. There's nothing worse than seeing somebody get something done when you're getting drunk.
Right.
You know, you feel like an asshole.
I've been there.
I don't need that. You know, if I'm getting drunk, I want either you getting drunk or you doing nothing.
You guys, you're right. You should go on the plane with him.
I don't want you taking your boards while I'm getting loaded.
You're right.
I'm starting to feel bad about myself.
That's right.
Melinda, I'll tell you what we might do.
Where are we going?
We might go to Frisco this weekend.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We'll grab lunch.
Yeah.
We'll go up to Coit Tower.
How much can you get done in an hour?
Oh.
You'll want to jump off the plane.
I will. There's back.
Okay.
I mean, there's...
Oh, the whole Pretty Woman treatment?
Okay. Believe me, you could do worse. Melinda Clark is here tonight from the OC. That's how she does things in the OC, you know?
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Yeah, something's wrong. All right, that's better. Well, here's the thing. If I turn my headphones up enough for me to hear me, the music gets really loud.
I hear you pretty well. Something's with your headphones, maybe.
Listen. We got another show to do tomorrow. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Melinda Clark, although every show is special, they're like my kids. Mm-hmm. All 5,000 of them, or however many we've done.
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, well, think about how many shows you may have done, Drew.
No.
All right, how many shows do we do a year? 250?
Yeah.
Well, no, you do like 65. You're always, you know, chasing a nickel around the country, shilling stuff for Trojan condoms. I'm here holding down the fort. So I do about 250, and we'll figure it out. Let's figure out how many shows. Not now. We'll do it off the air.
Easily 250. More like 270.
All right.
270 times 10, let's say.
All right. It's 2,700? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
All right. So I got about 2,500.
Yeah.
Under my belt. True, you may have 5,000. Good times. Melinda Clark is is here tonight. She's from the OC.
The mom.
And that is...
That's basically what most people call me. You're the mom.
You're hot mom, though. I mean, that's... you know?
We tried to use the word MILF on the show, and Fox didn't let us say it.
Really?
Uh-huh. This is all after Janet, so...
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the story I heard was that they got it in the script. It was written, and the network approves that. But then when the show is actually shot, and the young boy I'm having the affair with, the 17-year-old,
sure,
calls me a MILF. But they did it. They screened the show, and the standards and practices gentlemen weren't quite sure, so they had to go find out what that meant. And
I don't know what it means.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
It means...
Mother I'd like to fool around with.
I didn't know that.
No.
Really?
They told the producer he couldn't have it in the show, and he said, well, what do you think it means? The standards guy. He said, Mother I'd like to fool around with, Mother I'd like to fondle. And he says, well, our research shows that it means Mother I'd like to...
our research. <Yeah.
And laughs> he said, research? He said, well, we did a focus group, and 90% of the people knew. So... they decided that was a little too much for the teen drama.
It's such a wonderful world. You know what I was thinking I'd like to do? You know what we should all do? Because, we're getting an ass full over here. And, mm-hmm. of course, there's, Howard Stern, poor guy's depressed. And Jimmy Kimmel. Everyone, all the guys I know, they're all falling apart because
terrorized.
Of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't seem to care, but that's just because I'm stupid, not really because it wouldn't affect me. It's just because I don't... I'm an atheist who really doesn't... You know, people I want to know about the Passion of the Christ, the Middle East and Palestine and, Israel. And I'm always like, listen, I'm an atheist. you guys are just a bunch of retards. I don't even know how this works. Just as someone explained to me how all this retardism works and all this bizarre ritual and how... You can say boo, but you can't say... someone explain that to me. I don't know how it works. Oh, who cares? It doesn't matter. Look, I don't care. I'm an atheist. I don't know how any of this works. It's just a bunch of idiots making arbitrary decisions. And if I get fired, I'll go back to carpentry. I don't care. But we should all... You know, we all Janet Jackson is a good prison-style... cot beating.
Yeah.
And here's how this works.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Cot
beating. Yeah, where it's like middle of the night, Janet's asleep, you know.
Oftentimes,
all of a sudden,
they take
we
lead
just
pipe
jump.
For that.
No, not a lead pipe. This is
soaps.
It's a pillowcase filled with soap.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
like doorknobs or something like that. Nipples, whatever. And we just, you know, she's lying there in her top bunk. Drew, you come around her with a towel, pull it over her mouth real tight. Melinda grabs her hands. And it's like, we all just take, Howard Stern takes a crack. I take a crack.
Jimmy gets a crack.
Bubba the Love Sponge starts going nuts on her with the thing. Like, everyone just starts beating the crap out of her.
Because those two took the law in their own hands, we're all eating crap.
And they picked the wrong venue to do it.
Two brain cells
functioning. That's where my prison style sack beating comes in.
I wasn't insulted by it, but it was insulted by the dance.
It was broadcast television, not cable, broadcast. Therefore, controlled by the FCC, specific laws that we all know and must comply with. We don't take into our own hands. We're the good guys. These guys just take stuff in their own hands.
Well, here's the thing. I don't really pass moral judgment on it, but it's just this sort of Madonna making out with Britney and this kind of stuff. It's like, look, if you can do something clever enough or you can do something talented enough, fine, you should go on record. You should get notoriety for that. Mm-hmm. You just doing shocking stuff is just sort of like the whole Britney, Madonna thing. It was like, you know, after 6 months of people talking about it, it was like, these two whores. And when I say whores, I don't mean prostitute whores. I mean media whores, you know. They've done exactly what everyone wants us to do. Who cares? Mm-hmm. These two skanks want to put their tongues in each other's mouth. Like they enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm insulted by the act, not the sexual act, but just the fact that... Madonna, Britney, you guys, not enough money, not a bright enough light on you. What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
all right. I'm tired of everything.
Yep.
I just didn't like the part where we feel like we got a shot. Look, here's the deal. You're a singer. Sing well. Dance well. Entertain. And we'll all applaud and we can move on with our lives.
That's right.
We don't have to talk about you for another 6 months.
That's
just do a good job. And that's it. We'll talk about you. Oh, you know, it's like, listen, when Whitney Houston sung... the hell did Whitney Houston sing? And the Super Bowl, you know, with the Jets flying over and she did the national anthem. She blew the roof off the place.
Beyonce, was it?
No, I mean, this is 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Drew. When Whitney Houston sung it, this is before she was insane. The point is she was amazing. And people still talk about it because she was amazing. She didn't have to pull a boob.
Yes.
No, I mean, she just did an amazing
job. Actually said to me that they'd like to know who the designer was because not only did it malfunction incorrectly, but that they heard that both were supposed to come off, and that was truly a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Both supposed to come off.
That's interesting.
I could be wrong, but that would make sense.
Because they definitely were not surprised by the outcome.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt no one was surprised by what went down.
Jade?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I'm seeing this guy. He's 35, and I recently moved in with him early this January, and... Mm. He won't sleep with me.
All right.
So Jade sounds eight.
I'm about ready to do some gambling.
Yeah, Jade sounds eight. She sounds eight.
What happened?
I'm not eight.
All right. What happened at 7 or 8? Anything?
What happened at 7 or 8?
To you, yeah.
Yeah. Your dad die? You get molested?
No. Yeah, I grew up being molested, but I don't think that poses a problem here.
No, nothing at all. That's
why. Could tell.
Yeah, and we couldn't tell immediately just with talking to you for 4 seconds.
Idea. No. No, because, I mean, we could right here on the screen. It says, lives with 35-year-old musician boyfriend, only had sex with him once in 3 months. So we could see you were molested.
Yeah, of course.
All right, so what happened? How old were you when you got molested?
When it started.
It was, you know, I really don't know how young I was when it started. It was just kind of this ever since I can remember kind of thing.
We definitely hear it in your voice. Your voice sounds like a child's voice.
It doesn't sound like
7 or 4. No, it doesn't sound like 4. Like... It sounds like 7. So, and I agree with you. 7 to 8 is what I said. And 6 to 8 is the range.
All right. How about 6 to 8? Who molested you? Your dad?
No, not my dad. It was actually like cousins and uncles. And...
Well, you can't remember when it started.
No.
I mean, were you
a baby?
Were you a baby?
I don't know. Honestly, I try to remember how long ago maybe it might have started, and I really can't.
Okay.
All right. Well, be that as it may, we find on this show is that we can tell at what age somebody's abuse began based
on... We'll go with about 6 or 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7
based
in
your on
case.
Your voice.
That's right.
Because your voice gets locked into the age...
For whatever reason, it stops developing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear it, can't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean...
And so now you're with... Now you will choose exploitative, abusive partners because you're sort of locked into that frozen hold. So here we go. So,
but this guy's 35 and he's doing nothing.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, but there's more to be revealed. I'm sure.
Really?
What's your question about your boyfriend?
Well, I don't know how to go about getting him to sleep with me. I've tried pretty much everything. I've tried jumping on top of him. I've watched two full-blown pornos right in front of him.
What did it used to be like?
Two of them.
Yeah, I went through two of them. Right, one right after the other one, and
what did
got
it,
nothing.
What did it used to be like before it cooled down?
It never cooled down.
No, we got together in July.
Sex one time.
And we've had sex, I'd say, 4 times since July.
Okay. Why are you with this guy?
Well, I love him, and but...
Okay. All right, you're living with the guy?
I live with him, yes.
All right. Well, let's. You got bigger fish to fry than this guy. Okay. Couple of things. Okay. This guy could be a drug addict if he's into heroin, he just loses sort of the will to do anything. That's
or Vicodin or OxyContin or something.
Yeah.
No, I think it's all just weed and what else?
Heroin.
He doesn't drink anymore because he was a really bad drunk.
All right. That can mess with your ability to have an erection and be sexually active. And what are the drugs he's taking besides pot?
He takes pills
for Vicodin.
Okay.
No, not like
stuff. It's like you're a 911 operator. Daddy's not moving. Honey needs you to go over to Daddy and listen to see if air is coming out of his. It's
okay. Well, the pills he's taking is probably completely extinguishing his sex drive.
Yeah. Also. This probably isn't the case with this guy, but chicks like this can be freaked. Guys can be freaked out.
Women that are sexual addicts will get with guys that they sometimes freak out.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's...
No, because they've never had... Listen, you're always right.
Thank you.
That guy would go with it for a few weeks.
That, Melinda?
Adam.
Do. Yeah?
That guy would go with it for a few weeks and then go, whoa, I thought you were just into me.
Right.
Then he gets freaked out.
Hey, Jade?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you get some therapy for this horrible abuse you've been through?
Okay. But how is that going to help my situation here?
I don't care about that situation.
It will change your willingness to tolerate your boyfriend's continued addiction.
All right, but look.
It's not about him not
If you're molested by your uncles and your cousins and God knows who else in your family, you got to get therapy, Jade.
But let's keep her motivated and what's motivating her right now. Your boyfriend's addiction is preventing him from being close and sexually active with you. If you want to have a real relationship, you're going to have to do some work, and so is he.
Yeah.
What does he have to say about all this? Does he respond?
No, Jane. But it's like, you know, it's like Pippi Longstocking asking you a question. Like, honey, lick your novelty-sized lollipop and get out of the way. Daddy's watching TV.
Go ahead.
Jane?
What does he say?
He really doesn't say anything. I wouldn't say aggressive, but I've tried bringing up the point that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and he
just...
He's just so glazed over.
He's high, you're a mess. Hey, I'm sorry you were abused, but now you really got to take care of yourself. I got something to say about this. You know, we always talk about... Drew and I marvel at how unsophisticated society is. Psychologically, how this stuff, this molestation, it's neither here nor there. You pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you get going on your life, you know, nothing has anything to do with anything. Once in a while, some fat blowhard like Dr. Phil will spit out some platitudes like, hey, your best medicine is the medicine you take. And then it sells a billion books because no one wants to do the work of therapy. But, you know, I had my nephew this week, and he's walking around the house I'm working on, and one of the guys who works over there smokes, and he throws a cigarette butt. The beauty of working and being a carpenter and smoking is just you flick butts like onto the roof, into the gasoline cans, yeah. Just way into the salt bill piles. Just smoke, it's great. You get to smoke on the job and throw butts everywhere. Just throws them everywhere. And my nephew, like, pick him up, and he's like, who's smoking?
Yeah.
Somebody's smoking. Yeah. It's one of the guys. He smokes? Which one? Is it the guy with the... I don't know. He smokes. Oh, he got to stop. And I realized the kid's brain is brainwashed with the smoking. He's like crazed with the. He brought it up like 8 times all night. Is he the one who smokes? Is he the one? And I felt like going, we've done a wonderful job teaching kids that smoke. Yeah, here's the thing. You smoke. Honey, if you started smoking tomorrow, you'd only live another 60 years. Okay? Meanwhile, they know not the kid will kill himself because he's depressed when he's 23.
Yes.
You know, we don't get into that at all. It's not, we brainwash the F out of everybody with all this smoking and all this other crap that somehow someone decided was monumentally important, but we never
miss
talk
the basics.
About,
yeah.
What about psychology? What about people's general mental health?
Yes,
it's some kind of taboo science that no one wants to touch?
God bless you.
Thank you, God damn it.
Mm.
All right, I'm getting some coffee, maybe a blow a butt, do some heroin. All right?
Let's go.
All right, Melinda Clark is here. She's from the OC. I'm going to show how we do things in the, where are we, Drew?
The CC.
The CC. Culver City. Oh, if they had a drama about Culver City, you know what it would be? Just a family sitting in a car waiting at a red arrow.
To turn left, yes.
Waiting to turn on a street with no cars coming, just sitting there at a red arrow waiting to get carjacked. That's what it would be about. All right, we'll take a right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Melinda Clark is our guest tonight from the OC.
Thank you.
9 o'clock, Fox, Wednesday nights. New season. No, not new season.
No, we're preempted
episodes.
For 3 weeks.
What the hell?
Until I know, I think it's very annoying for everybody, but March 24th.
Yeah.
We're writing, you know, American Idols.
Yeah. Of course.
So it has a lot to do, I think, with that, but...
We've talked about this on the air more than once. The American Idol phenomenon, I understand once they narrow it down to about 4 or 5 people that you can sort of, well, you hang your hat on one of the candidates. But for the first 9 weeks when they just sort of sit there at a folding table drinking a Pepsi, watching hacks...
kids watch for the hacks. The worse, the better, as far as they're concerned.
They're doing specials on just them.
Yeah.
After 5 episodes of what's her name, just looking down and trying to... I don't know. Is it really? All right, man. That's just me.
There you go.
That's just me. I understand at the end, it's good. You're pulling for somebody. The first 3 quarters of it...
It's kind of interesting in the beginning and the end. The middle's a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Simon, a genius. I mean, the guy's hilarious the way he's rude to people.
He's right, though.
I know. I know, but what? Okay. Jason, you're 18.
Yeah, I was wondering about tattoos. I wanted to get one.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, about diseases and stuff like that, and also about lasering off, because I'm doing this for my mom.
Well, you got to make sure that they open a sterile package when they're going to do your tattoo.
You're calling for your mom, or you're getting your mom?
She doesn't want me to get a tattoo, and I'm trying to get her tell her that it's safe, but she's worried about hepatitis and stuff like that.
No, as long as they open up against sterile equipment, and most reputable places
open
will
up
do that.
Against?
They will open up a package with sterile equipment in it.
What about lasering? Is that safe?
Lasering is completely safe. It's terribly expensive, but it's quite safe, and it's a long company.
Talking about lasering before you get the tat, it's like the prenup before marriage. Like, hey, baby, we're in love, and I got some paperwork I'd like you to look over. I mean, in case the wheels come off the wagon.
Know. I mean, after all.
You got to be covered.
You know, these prenups.
Yeah, you get prenups, and you got to get lasers in case you change your mind with the tat.
I'm glad to hear you're against prenups.
I didn't know
you were.
Yeah, I'm not that into it. No, I mean, who the hell knows? I don't know.
You don't know, but that's what you make a commitment because you're making a commitment. If you can't live up to that, then there's a price to be paid.
Yeah, you can't go into it with an out.
Yeah, I'll tell you
my
feeling with the prenup is I feel like I know the person I'm going to marry. And if something horrible happens down the road, I feel like we can have, we can discuss.
And by the way, if something horrible happens, you want to go into something that you co-created. And so if it breaks apart, you split it.
Not my case. It's mine.
It's all yours. Yeah.
Your co-created. Case. Are you high?
You wait till you have kids. Just wait till you have kids. Will you have a kid, for God's sake?
When'd you turn into Thurston Howell? Love it. All right, listen. Jason, what are you going to get? First off, your mom's just saying this crap because she doesn't want you to get the tattoo. She's talking about hepatitis and whatnot because she's trying to talk you out of it. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Right. I was just going to get like my last name or something on my chest or something on my back.
Good, that's right.
Yeah,
paramedics. It's going to help the paramedics. Which I know you don't care.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get something on your ankle. You're going to cross your chest and across your back.
It's like a dog tag.
All right, you do that. You tell your mom next time she gives you a hard time, just go, look, baby, nature or nurture.
Either way,
you F me up. Bad genes, bad rearing? Maybe both. I don't know. But take a good look in the mirror.
All right, here's a question about trucker hats. Do you like trucker hats, yes or no? Let's just
I think get they're passe.
Where, up here?
Yeah.
Trucker hats. Julian? Are the trucker hats, the ones that are...
The mesh in front.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, there's the mesh ones, and there's the ones that... I don't like anything that's worn out intentionally. You know, that's weird. Like, the guys get the hats, and they bend the bill, and then they wear out the edge.
You get the little salt stain up here.
Well, that's wait a minute.
That's horrible.
That's me. Yeah. Well, I work in a hat, you know? I wear my hats out. I don't know. So like, what, do you pay somebody to ruin your hat? Like some Guatemalan kid that just toils in a field with your hat for 6 months, and he gives it back to you? All right, just get the new stuff. All I'm saying. All right well, but start wearing a hat, because if you go bald later, won't be like Ron Howard. He's wearing it.
You just think of him with a hat.
Yeah, you see, picture me. You see me with a hat, right?
No matter what.
I got my hair, but later when it falls out, I got the hat.
There you go.
Yeah. Melinda Clark tonight from the OC. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Ty Pennington is coming in here tomorrow night. He's the home improvement dude that all the ladies love. I like to reveal him for the charlatan that he is, Drew. I know more about carpentry than he does. We have to figure out some sort of test to figure
Boring.
That out.
Boring. Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't mean that. Did I say that?
You thought that was a drop.
I thought it. I did something come out of my mouth?
Boring bit. I really do enjoy that home improvement show on ABC.
I'm imagining what's going to happen when he gets in here tomorrow night. Maybe I'll learn something.
I leave my channel on HGTV and all those stations.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's very attractive. I think a lot of women do that.
You do?
Men do too?
You like that? You know what?
It doesn't really.
Here's the thing about guys. There's a small percentage of guys that are really into all that stuff, and then the rest want nothing to do with it. Whereas women... A large percentage of them have a passing interest, some interest in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, here it is. 2% of guys are wrenchers, gearheads, nuts with that stuff. And the rest, like every guy I work with over Kimmel, does not give a rat's ass about. Women, 80% of them have some interest. Mm-hmm. They're not going to start, they're not going to start framing up on the roof and, putting truss and joists and whatnot, but they have an interest in it.
They love the finished product.
As a, when I was a carpenter, every guy, except for the gay couples, and I worked for a fair amount of gay couples, I would speak to the chick. As the guy had nothing to do with it. And the guys were just scared. Really, they really were. These guys couldn't do anything. Like, once in a while, I would say, look, they didn't have the base shoe, so we're going with the quarter round on the, you got to ask my wife. Well, it's no big deal. She's never going to. I'll say, no, I'll wait till she comes home. I got to get started here. Well, if she found out we had this conversation and I said okay and I didn't talk to her, you'd be amazed at how many guys are pee-whipped out there, by the way, especially with this sort of crap. You'd be amazed at how many guys know zero about anything to do with their house or their car and are pee-whipped. Guys are turning into chicks. Drew, you nursed your children, did you not?
Yeah, I did, with my third nipple, by the way. Interestingly.
Your supernumerary nipple?
They're just trying to get along with the assertive women.
Yeah, guys have
Women's become very assertive in the past,
yeah.
couple decades. And I think men are just trying to figure out how to, you know, skate by that sometimes.
They've really turned into pusses, guys. And I do
well, but
think...
the thing is that you, when you really don't know anything about that stuff, and your wife has got a vision going and a plan, you don't want to get in the way of it. Just like, hey, great, mm-hmm. cool,
yeah, but,
fine.
But, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know...
But look at the scale of guys being pee-whipped, okay, no. over the last 50 years. Mm. And... then put that next to the scale of knowledge about working on the house, working on the car, yes. fixing the tractor yeah. kind of thing. I think they both. Go in line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They go in opposite directions.
The less the guy knows, the more pee-whipped he yeah. is around the house. yes? Yes, mm-hmm. true.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your forefathers who weren't pee-whipped could fix the car.
Yep.
You who are pee-whipped can't fix the car. You understand?
I helped
and
the
your,
guy.
Your children, look out. Your son's going to be pregnant by 19.
I helped a guy change a tire today, and we were both so lame, we couldn't figure out how to do it. And I thought I was relieved to know that there's a young guy, as bad as me.
Well,
I was like, wow. I love cars. I love everything about them. I can't change a tire.
Here's the thing
really
about
pathetic.
Let me tell you a couple things that are going on. And Melinda, I hope you you know you do a little cooking every once in a while, maybe a little sewing.
No,
you rattle the pots and pans.
How dare
in the
you?
Kitchen.
How dare you?
Here's all I'm saying. Somehow, and I don't know when it happened. 20 years ago, women cooking and you know being able to cook and being able to stitch up a guy's pants mm-hmm. and a guy being able to go out and change the plugs in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, this became very passé and mundane. You know, it was like. Oh please!
Yeah.
I'm not gonna live up to that stereotype. Now you got two tards living together. you know, my wife can't cook, she can't sew, she can't do anything, and it's like, hey, baby, how about you do? Hey, what do you? Hey, come on, man! I'm a modern woman.
My wife can do both, but why should she?
That's
really?
Exactly what I can do both.
You can?
I don't necessarily because I work at these
right.
strange
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, you bring some money in. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right, here's all I'm saying.
We switch off.
Wouldn't you like to get back to a time though where the women could cook and the guy could fix the car?
We just better hope that there's no sort of failure of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My husband would love that.
Yeah? You cooking and him fixing the car?
Yeah.
What's he do?
Well, he's a writer and director, but he's not whipped. We fight well.
Oh, that's good. He's a good fighter guy.
Yeah. But he can pick up the slack when mom's not there too, so that's
and,
good.
And can he fix the car?
Yeah, he's pretty good at the car. Pretty good. He's, you know, fixing everything. He's very handy.
He's handy around the house?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, and he's got a green thumb. Imagine that.
Wow. All right. Drew's got a brown nose.
Coincidentally.
got to kiss that wife's ass.
Sorry, honey.
yes, sir. I mean, ma'am. Denise?
Hi.
What's happening? You're 20 years of age.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, I have no experience in, obviously, relationships. It is my first relationship I'm in at the moment. And I was just wondering, like, how do you know, like, when to get out? How, mm-hmm. you know, how do I bring up a certain subject to them that really, really makes me uncomfortable?
What? How do you what?
What, do you want out of the relationship or do you want to bring up something? Or is that what you want to bring up?
More the fact that how do I bring it up?
Bring up what?
Just recently, I guess he's had a lot of partners in his past, and he has a girlfriend or an ex-girlfriend that got pregnant, not by him, but had the baby, and he wants to go see her. And, mm-hmm. That makes me uncomfortable, and there's also the fact that he has a friend, a girl, who's a friend in Pennsylvania, that I guess his mother bought him a ticket to go see.
Oh, boy.
His mother?
Yeah. How did you meet this guy?
Well, hold on a second. First off, I don't know why his mom bought him the ticket.
That's more
but
what I want
this
to hear.
Could be an old childhood friend or something.
How did you meet the guy? So I was asking. I want to see who this guy is.
Oh, at a party.
Oh, at a party.
At a party?
At a party.
What does he
now
do?
Now you know,
what does he
Drew.
Do for a living?
Oh, that's enough. Drew knows. I met at a party.
What does he
that
do for a living?
That explains it all.
Right now, he works at Applebee's. He's trying to become a policeman.
A policeman.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad sign.
Right now at Applebee's.
Hmm. All right, well, Drew, now it's coming to vivid detail. How about you let me talk for a second? We'll get some real answers. Denise.
Yes?
Quiet. I have questions.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Don't say I'm sorry. It makes me feel bad about myself.
Not about you, though, Denise.
But you could apologize for apologizing. Would you like to do that?
Yes, I'm sorry, sir.
Okay.
Sorry, sir?
He is going to Pennsylvania to hook up with a woman that he has known for how long?
I believe he's known her for about 3 years.
3 years. And why is his mom buying him a ticket to go back and meet a woman who he's been friends with for a relatively short period of time?
I guess they've been friends, and I guess they've been planning this before he even met me.
Why is the mom involved with this?
Yeah.
I guess it's going to be his birthday present, basically.
All right. And they never had any kind of relationship?
No, not them.
All right. And now, the part about his ex-girlfriend having a kid and wanting him wanting to visit her, see the kid, that's within the realm of normal. That's no big deal, is it?
Hold on a second.
That's the pee-whipper speaking over there.
No.
That's not... look, it's not weird. I mean, it's weird. It's weird to double date or to go hang out with her. But the fact that she just had a kid sort of nullifies the weirdness in that you have... Well, not a little bit. It really does nullify.
You don't know when the kid was. The kid maybe 6 years old. I don't know how old's the kid.
I said that she just had a baby and she wants him to see the baby.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Well, okay. Let's just make sure. Her line's cutting out. Denise?
Yes.
How long ago did his ex-girlfriend have the baby?
Last Friday.
Okay.
So that's a zero right there.
Yeah.
Well, my other concern is the fact that he wants me to actually go, and I feel very uncomfortable with that. That is not the way I grew up. And he said something about he wanted me to be friends with her.
I picture Denise growing up on the back of one of those buggies with the triangle, the reflective triangle on the back. You're a Quaker or a Shaker? What are you?
I'm, in fact, atheist. My parents have been, they're practicing Catholics.
Okay. Look, Denise, you're 20.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Please, Drew. Denise, loosen up, 100%, would you, baby doll? 100%. You're 20 years old. Lighten up. Have a wine cooler, would you?
I don't.
Jesus Christ.
You may be reading more. You may be trying to sabotage this for some reason. I was going along with Denise for a while, but I agree with you, Adam, that there's something with her.
Here's the thing, too. She sounds like a robot. She's 20 years old. She sounds like these women who call up Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of weird, it's a weird chick thing. Guys do it, too, once in a while. Guys got their own crappy version of it, but it's like... I saw my husband looking at pornographic pictures by the toilet. I wanted to know how to react to this. You know, it's like, what happened? Oh, he was looking through a Fredericks of Hollywood catalog while he was on the crapper. And these women oftentimes are in their early 20s, and you picture them. You just sort of picture them like churning butter out on the front porch by hand, and wearing one of those do rags, you know, on their head, and looking like Little House on the Prairie. You're 20. This jerk works at the Applebee's. Just have a little fun, would you? Mm. He's had multiple partners before me.
Yeah,
it's like
he's from France.
It's like one of the Coneheads is called in. And by the way, his numerous partners are probably like 9 chicks he had sex with before he got to you. And Denise was probably the fat chick from high school that dropped a few pounds and didn't get a lot
of
action.
That's one of the first ways to sabotage a relationship, be jealous about.
You start going after
everything.
Him.
Yeah, and being uncool and being, yeah.
And it's just like, how uptight can you be at 20? It's like, he wants me to come with her. I'm uncomfortable with that.
That sounds like somebody her whole life had men who betrayed her.
First relationship ever, she says.
Denise?
But even like 20.
Yeah.
How many partners, sexual partners, has he had before you?
I'm kind of a bookworm.
No. How many has he had before you?
I believe 8.
Yeah, well, I was
way off.
Well, 9, because I'm counting the chick in Pennsylvania was banging. Yes. We didn't tell her about it.
Yes, okay.
Okay, 8. So, listen, the point is when you've had 0 partners, if somebody had 1, they have 100% more than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So what I'm getting from Denise's upbringing is very intrusive upbringing.
Right.
Like squashing her as a person and not letting her express any spontaneous aspects of herself.
And here's the problem, too. Here's, like I said, it's like on Dr. Laura. It's like they call up, and then Dr. Laura gets her panties in the bunch, and it's like, he's going to see? Well, you got to tell him. No, you got to lighten up. Just relax. Stop busting the guy's balls.
I've always thought that I've always said to my husband, you got to go have a boys' night out. Go. And he was always the type that would, that's the kind of woman I want to be.
Really?
The one that, you know.
I like to talk to this guy, but I get a different story.
Yeah.
You think?
I love when women are super cool, but then your wife's probably that way too, right? Like, you talk to her, she's right. Oh, Drew, I tell him, get out of here. Like, oh, have a fun. Go kick it up with the guys. Hit a strip club, down a pony keg. Have a good time. But no, that ain't what it's like. That's not what the reality is. That's what women idea. Yeah? Guys don't do that, though. We don't have, like, that cool off. I told my woman, hey, you want to blow a couple of strangers? Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. I'm cool that way. It's all cool. Uh-huh. We don't do
that. That's exactly what I told him, too. Go blow a couple of strangers. Go ahead, honey.
So you're cool. You don't mind him going out, having a good time?
No. Uh-uh. As long as he doesn't go to strip clubs.
Well, I don't mind that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about a lap dance?
I don't mind that either. I actually
really
like them.
You really? You like what? What do you like? What do you like?
Huh? Lap dances are great.
That's cool?
Sure.
All right. Yeah? You don't mind. He's not that kind of guy, though, right?
No, he's actually, he's not.
At least he can't let on to the fact that he might be.
Drew does this. I like the guy the most is, not the guy who says he doesn't like the lap dance, the guy's confused by it. So how does this work? So you pay and then the young lady minces about on your lap? I don't understand. That's the best way to do it. Like, you're just pure ignorance. Like,
no, literally, I
Drew doesn't know.
I don't know. No. It's been that long.
No, it's got the word lap and dance in it. What could it be?
Yeah, but I
have no idea. How does this
stand on your lap? And
I don't understand your ways. Drew doesn't know what goes on.
Now, we were talking about some details about what goes on.
There's no way you could go to a strip club, yes? No.
No.
No way. No way. All right. Well, Melinda, me and your husband.
Yeah, we'll go.
No, I'm just talking about me and your husband.
Yeah, okay.
I'll find out what goes on over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Give him a call.
Yeah, because this guy could be... He could be one of those guys who wants to go to the champagne room. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Guy brings his own lube.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'll get to the bottom of it.
Okay, we should.
All right. Me and him go down to Thirsties in Van Nuys or something like that. Bob's Classy Lady.
Oh, God.
That's the place. when you say Bob's Classy Lady, and it's on Sepulveda out in Van Nuys, really?
Very classy.
There's some good ones out there in the valley.
Thomas?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, you're 17. What's up?
Hey, before I ask my question to Melinda, I had a question for Drew.
Mm.
Drew?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I've been sick for a while, like I guess like 2 weeks. I've been hoarse, but I don't really feel sick. Mm. So I'm wondering, like, is smoking pot bad for that?
Yes.
I kind of figured that. And
if you're smoking pot every day, you will get chronic bronchitis eventually.
Not every day, no way. But somebody told me that drinking makes you sicker if you're already sick. Is that true?
Well, if you're, that's actually a pretty complicated question. But yes, it can suppress your immune function.
Well, but look, here's the reality. People don't talk about it that much, but it's 17. Do whatever you want to yourself.
Well,
it's not gonna. If you're sick, you're gonna be sick for as long as the sickness lasts. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, look, you rest up and drink some fluids.
Well, the hoarseness is upper airway congestion up in your trachea and laryngeal area. And so inhalers, that sort of thing, can be useful.
Right.
Have you been out to any parties speaking, loudly on the weekends?
I've been singing, and I had to do a chorus festival recently with my, like, kind of half voice, but I managed to do that. So I've been using my voice a lot, yeah.
Because I find that being out, I would get chronic hoarseness if I was out in a particular place and have to speak at a certain decibel.
Oh, really?
And then you have a few drinks and alcohol, and if there's smoke anywhere, all those kinds of things can stress your voice out.
Yeah.
And I'm coughing up kind of nasty crap, but I guess that's another issue.
I got another.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he's
saying. That's
what
I'm saying. You have a tracheitis.
I got a theory. Singing with the chorus, perhaps, or his boyfriend's penis has been pounding on his upper palate here. Perhaps causing
that wouldn't affect
trauma to that area.
No. Got to get much further down.
There's a lot of the guys who sing in the chorus. That's
Thomas. What was your question?
All right, Melinda. I was wondering, like, how they found you for the OC. Like, who approached you, or how did they find you for the OC?
Well, I was just on, you know, Hollywood and Vine.
She was at Schwab's.
Yeah, Schwab's drugstore, and
she went out on 1,000 auditions.
As everybody walked by, I just raised my skirt, and they went, "You can be the bitch on the SC." No, there's this time of year, there's something called pilot season, and we go on, and during that time, there's hundreds of TV shows, and they ask you to come in and read for the parts, and the producers actually knew who I was, because Mick G, our producer, had done a show called Fastlane. I had auditioned for that. And
Were you in Fastlane?
No, I didn't get the role.
Oh, but he remembered you from a good audition.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things that worked out well, and they offered me the role, and the role wasn't originally as large as it is now. I don't think they knew what they were going to do with it, but they liked, I guess, what I was doing, and they liked the potential for the character, so it became more.
Well, it's a good show. I like it, so keep up the good work.
Thanks.
All right. Tom's got to go.
Well, got to go now. Here we go. By the way, are you a Mormon? Still batting 1,000.
You think?
Yeah, whenever Anderson plays the "Are You a Mormon" drop, it always gets an answer, and a straight answer.
I have a lot of Mormon relatives.
You do?
Yeah.
Back in Utah, there?
Yeah, Salt Lake.
People have this sort of fantasy that actors hang out and people approach them and pluck them up. And
Or they're just some sort of mysterious story.
You got to go out. You got to audition. You have to work hard.
You have to have sex with a lot of people.
Yeah, or mainly oral now, but back in the day, you know, included anal. I'm not telling anyone any news. Linda knows how the game is played. That's how she met her husband. The guy doesn't care about strip clubs. We'll see. But here's the point. I remember when we had Jeremy Piven in here, and Jeremy Piven has been in every single movie ever made, and he really has. I mean, he's in every second movie. And, I said to him, how do you get in every single movie ever made? And he's he was very earnest.
Very serious. Serious.
That's when I realized we couldn't hang, because I thought, here's a guy who works hard. And I don't need that.
Yeah.
He's like, I get the script, I study the script, I learn the script, I become comfortable with the material, I get off script, and I go in and I blow them away. And I start thinking, after you've been 178 movies in the last 4 years, you really got to go in and, people are like, let's have Piven read this. I wonder what his take on it.
Hey, he's John Cusack's buddy.
Yeah, and just close your eyes. You know how Piven, I can picture... I could hear Piven doing this anything that any actor's ever done. I can, I've seen him in 1,000 movies. Yeah, just show him you're real. Yeah. But the point is he said, I know Melinda's a huge fan. He said that he busts his chops and goes in, and he's real serious about it and everything. And I'm just saying, if a guy's been in 5,000 movies in the last 12 months,
that should be enough.
Should do that.
It's not nowadays. Everybody has to audition for everything, even if you're a celebrity.
Thus, that is why Adam is not on film or on television.
That's right.
Because he will not audition.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And I think that's one of the most difficult process. It's a medium you have to become proficient in, and it's never ever easy.
Hasn't worked out well for me.
Really?
No.
Have you done a few?
Here's what...
Sitcom auditions?
No.
Or comedies for
you
film?
You won't do any.
Not interested in doing any of that. But I had a couple things. First, feather in my cap, have had casting agents back when I was with William Morris call William Morris and complain that I was abusive. I thought, how many actors get the phone call back to the agent saying the guy was verbally abusive? But here's the whole thing. Casting agents are right down there with publicists in terms of just horrible, wretched. It's like meter maid, Nazi henchman, a publicist, a casting agent. They're all just retards and idiots. I mean, they're idiots. They're worse than publicists in their own sort of way. They're pompous, too. They're hugely pompous.
They seem to be able to create roles.
Nah, they're idiots, please. And so the thing is I've had a couple of good episodes. One is you sit down. Sometimes they do that, what makes you think you can act?
No, really?
Yeah, I have got that before. Another thing they do is they tell you to get there at 5, and they tell everyone to get there at 5, and then everyone just sits around, and I go around the room. What time do they tell you? 5. What about you? 5. What about you? 5. And it's like, well, it's 5:30. Yeah. Where is the guy? And they're in the back eating. You can hear him laughing through the thing. So, so a couple good things. I leave all the time. I always leave, and when you leave, they freak out. They're like, why did he leave? And it's like, because you said it was going to be at 5, and it's now 5:30, right. And no one came out. And I just said, if no one comes out in a half hour, I'm leaving. Oh, you got to get back. Uh-huh. No way. But I've had a couple of good ones. One is the verbally abusive one.
Most of us are just trying to kiss ass.
Yeah, they love that. The other one that was good is got a call back and didn't go. Because that was the one where they said... It was a one line. It was like one line. And that's the other thing. Here's the other thing about casting agents. They call everyone back hundreds of times. If you're bar patron number 5 in Melrose Place, where all you have to do is hold your empty beer mug up at the end of the bar, they want to see you 6 times. These poor guys got to get people to cover. You know, they're all waiters and cocktail waitresses and all this. They got to get people to cover for them while they drive across town and audition 2, 3, and 4 times for the same idiot who already saw him for the same nothing role. So they said, come back and do it again. And I said, I was already there. And they said, yeah, I know, but come back again. Mm-hmm. And then I said, look, you want to see me do it again? I said, yeah. I said, close your eyes and picture me doing it the first goddamn time I was there. And they're like, huh? What?
Was this the abusive call? Yeah.
No, that was another one. Yeah. But listen, these are idiots. Who cares? Let's take these people and publicists and just ball them, just put them in a huge ball and just throw them in the ocean. So we have a better society. You know what I mean? A handful of attorneys.
Weren't you going to launch people in some sort of what do they call that? That device from
casting it. Another time, I tried to get everyone to leave a casting call too. Like there was me and about 10 other people there, and the people never showed up. So we just started yelling. I just started yelling. Let's do a mutiny. Let's all go. I'll buy everyone ice cream. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, correct.
Actors are spineless.
Mm. Yeah, we are. I thought it would be nice to be able to be verbally abusive to the ones that are abusive to you.
All right. So abuse next time you go out on an audition.
Yeah, right.
And they never. Okay. Melinda Clark is here. Don't get me started, Drew.
I won't.
We'll, from the OC, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's in here? What did I say was in here tomorrow night?
Ty Pennington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Master Carpenter, Ty Pennington. We'll get to the bottom of that tomorrow night. Now, Drew, can we find some sort of test? Who can do this? Engineer Chris.
Look for some sort of a contractor's test.
Can you...
Licensing board.
Because Chris, like, F you, I'm getting $10. I'm getting $20 for the 2 hours I'm here, and you two, yeah, you think that gift certificate the Blockbuster you two a-holes get me for Christmas every year is going to cover it? Please. It's great, too, Drew.
When did you wake up to your reality?
What, my reality?
Yeah, the fact that the people around you shouldn't be kissing your ass and running, getting you coffee, and making everything a little easy and comfortable for you.
I've not woken up to that reality.
Okay.
I don't even know who said that.
No, you're right.
Who was that?
I don't even know you, man, when you talk like this.
All right, quiet down. Chris, find some sort of test. Contractor's test? Contractor? Okay. All right. And he's going to come back with a conductor's test.
Tell Ann to do it.
I don't know where Ann is, and Ann gets mad if you ask her to do stuff. Okay.
You're so pee-whipped, Adam.
Well, Ann, yeah. All right. Ann's not here. Producer Ann is she here?
She's here. She's listening to your offensive comments from nights ago that have led to complaints.
Okay. That's a good time. All right. We going to do a Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, explain it to Melinda.
Oh. Yeah, okay. So here it is. All bizarre stories either emanate from either Germany or Florida.
Okay.
They tell us the bizarre story. We guess. Germany or Florida.
It's actually much more than just a guess. We tell them.
All right. We tell them. Yeah. Brad?
Yeah.
See how exciting the game can be? Brad?
Sounds like Germany.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Like you just like a bomb.
It's already a disaster. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Germany,
Germany
or Florida?
Florida! It's Germany! Or Florida!
A gambler called the police for help after he lost his false teeth during a poker game. The man's poker partner had taken his dentures as a security against non-payment of gambling debt. The 45-year-old, who owned the other man a considerable amount, said he asked the police for help because he didn't want to have to live off fluids until he'd raised the money. His 51-year-old rival admitted taking the teeth from his friend's bathroom as insurance against the owed money, but handed them back under police pressure.
Hmm. Wow. This could be Germany or Florida.
I'm thinking Florida.
It feels Florida.
Poker feels Florida.
All right.
Linda said Florida.
Linda says Florida.
Geriatric.
We say Florida.
Yeah, the teeth come out and stuff. It's Florida.
It's Germany.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
Yep.
Man, that's smarts.
Yep.
That stings.
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
We thought we told you.
Yeah, you did. By the way, that's 1-3.
I know. I'm feeling demoralized.
This is nothing short of a slump, Drew.
This is a streak in the wrong direction. Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
This is a negative streak, which I think is called a slump.
Okay.
Okay.
Nothing short of a slump.
It is not short of a slump. Wherever the slump begins, we're well into that area.
We're not short
of it. We're in Slumpville. Mm-hmm. We have not coasted and stopped just before we got to this across the slump border. We're into the slump. Oh, yes. And Melinda is the queen of the slumpers.
In the slump.
She is knee-deep in the slump with us.
Okay.
Because whereas we're 1-3, you're 0-1.
Right. Okay.
Which is a slump as well, you know. Arguably not the slump that we're in, but still
not yet
still
a series,
slump.
But yeah.
Beth?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes.
Now, before the night is through, we got to take it to Germany or Florida to try to see if we can extricate ourselves from the slump that we're in.
I'm with you.
Beth has been on hold for 118 minutes. What's up, baby doll?
Well, I had a question for Dr. Drew about masturbation. Mm-hmm. Ever since I can remember, probably around the age of 3 or 4, and up to about 13, I masturbated quite a bit. I'd say like daily, and I wanted to know how normal is that and why? What caused me to do something like that? I mean, I know it's normal when you get to your preteen age, but
it sometimes just happens.
She said 3 or 4.
Yeah. Can you remember 3 or?
You can remember.
I can remember 3 or 4 because I lived in the townhouse until the age of 4, and I can remember doing it in my bedroom of my townhouse.
Hmm.
So that's.
But the other thing, more commonly than not, in my experience, people that stimulate the genitalia at an age prior to the sort of developmental stage where they would get sexual arousal from that,
mm-hmm.
are kids that were either A, exposed to some sort of sexual material or sexual abuse at a young age, or B, lived around a lot of chaos, and it's just something that kids seem to do when they are sort of trying to deal with overwhelming chaos.
Yeah.
So, Megan, where do you fit into the spectrum of those...
Megan?
No, I don't know. The phone's all over the place.
I know, but let's hear it.
You know what, Drew? You got to move around with your kids, by the way.
So they can tell where they were at what age?
Yeah, you don't know how... Like, for me, I'm like, well, let's see. We lived in the S-Box in North Hollywood until I was then. Then my dad moved into that crappy one-bedroom on Laurel with the green carpet, and then he moved into the A-frame dump off Otsego there. You see what I mean? Like, you can move it around. Like, if you move once a year... move every calendar year, your kid will always know where he was. It was 8, you know, I was molested by Uncle Lou. We were living back on, we're out on Esmeralda Street. Yeah, I remember that. Sure. You know where you are. Your kids, they got no idea. They've been there since they were 4. They're going to push all the way through to high school to be in the same place. I have no timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People say, like, oh, when'd you lose your virginity? I don't know, 6, 16, I don't know.
Can't tell.
I don't know, but my dad wouldn't move.
It's true. No, we gotta talk to finish with Beth.
What, Beth? She's been on hold for 119 minutes. Beth?
Yeah.
Okay, so
what kind of environment were you raised in?
I grew up with a pretty normal family. I mean, both my parents worked. I was never abused. Neither one of them have any type of alcoholic issues.
Are you a Mormon?
And no, Jewish.
Okay.
1000%.
Jewish. All right.
Uh-huh.
We know there's no abuse.
And again, there was no intrusiveness or unpleasantness of any type.
Yeah, the Jews, mm-hmm. they intrude a little, but it's because I love them.
I'm actually had both my parents.
You what?
I'm close with both my parents.
Okay, and then no sexual abuse, no sexual material.
She's Jewish, Drew. She's
right. My dad gave me baths when I was younger.
No, no.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Any bipolar illness in your family?
No.
Okay, so it may just be you. That does happen without a reason.
Is this something that happens?
Yeah. Huh. It's okay. Why'd you stop?
Well, because I was doing it so much, I pretty much convinced myself that it's not good to do it so much. So around the age of 13, 14, I just kind of phased myself out. I'd distract myself. And then around the age of 14 is when I had my first boyfriend that was considered a serious relationship. I stayed with him all through high school.
All right.
And what happened with that?
Just broke up. I mean, I didn't really like him.
No, but I mean, were you sexually active with him?
Do what?
All right. Beth.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it's a mitzvah, your masturbation. It's a masturbatorial mitzvah. Secondly, mazel tov. Third, if you should want to diddle yourself, then feel free.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, relax over there, would you? Everybody. What are you talking, a bunch of 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, like the weight of the world on these kids. Mm. Just relax. Enjoy a little bit. Act like you're 20. You're 21 years old. Just enjoy life a little.
Abundanza.
Abundanza. That means abundance. True.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
But here's the point. Mama Celeste used to say that about her pizza.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. By the way, when a product is crappy, should you really be advertising to get more?
Yeah.
About the crappy frozen pizza, we give you less.
Yeah.
Because it kind of sucks. Okay. Here's the thing. I wonder if kids, and I say kids, but I just mean young people growing up today, are we hitting them over the head with, like, way too much news and way too much negativity? And, you know, are they worried? Are they sitting around thinking about global warming too much and venereal diseases and the FCC and the Middle East conflict and dirty bombs? I mean, everyone's just like, oh, is everyone getting more depressed? You know what I mean? Like,
seems more serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What? You know? Listen, when you're 20, you're supposed to just be looking to have a good time. I mean,
I know things have not changed that much on college campuses. They're pretty much the same.
They are.
Yeah.
You don't think they're more? I think they're.
No, I think they're a little wilder, in fact, some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're acting. Yeah, but that's in a way that's like
it's an acting out. Yeah, it's an
but
acting
out. I think they know too much. Mm. I just mean, the college student of yore had a relatively simplistic view of the world, I would say. Probably didn't know all that much that was going on outside of our borders, other than, you know, Canada was good and Soviet Union was bad. I'm going to get a job and spit out some kids. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I just get the feeling the kids are sitting around trying to figure out what's going on with Michael Jackson in Israel, and their heads are exploding.
Yeah, trying to take those two situations simultaneously is enough to make any head explode.
There's too many news channels.
The media, I think, is the one thing that's changed so much.
Yeah, crack
so much information.
Crack a beer, everybody, and listen to a Dr. Demento album or something. You know what I mean? Just relax. Loosen up a little. Stop being so uptight.
I know. Where is Dr. Demento now?
He died tragically of AIDS. But anyway, so you got to wear a condom when you're having sexual relations. No, he's around. I don't know where he is.
He was a mention on The Simpsons the other night.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Dr.
Bart. Bart hated him and threw the radio out the window.
Oh, buddy.
There you go.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. Melinda Clark's here tonight from the OC. Wednesday nights. Drew, where are you going, buddy? Wednesday nights on Fox. Drew's heading out.
Getting something to eat.
No, okay, easy, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Melinda Clark is here tonight. She is from the OC, Fox, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. Tomorrow night, Ty Pennington in here from Extreme Home Makeover, a show I very much enjoy. Saw it last night. I believe I've seen all of them.
Hmm.
Unlike the OC, which I've seen parts of, but again, I'm just glad it's out there.
You've just seen the ads?
No.
I've watched some.
Oh, okay.
I've seen parts. We work here, so we got to leave. And the TiVo is an iffy technology. I've not really worked out yet. But the point is to me, the OC It's really like the undercover security at the airport. I'm glad those guys are walking around. I don't need to see them. I need to know they're there doing their job.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I need to talk to every one of them.
No, no.
I need to know they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I feel better knowing that the OC is out there. Marina?
Yes.
You're 25?
Hi,
what's happening?
I'm 25. Hi, Dr. Drew. Anyways, I think I've, like, taken a turn on our sex relationship with my boyfriend. He's gotten used to me telling him stories and talking to him dirty, like when we have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And he expects it every time, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. What kind of dirty stories?
He wants me to, like, role play and just tell him, like, what I've done, that I've cheated on him, and explain to him, like, what I did the night before with a different guy.
Yeah. Guys get into that weird sort of naughty... there's that tell me what you did with the other boyfriend before me. I like to look into the future. Tell me what you're going to do to the next guy after we break up because I keep bugging you with this.
It's like a verbal penthouse forum.
It's sort of boner meets misogyny, you know? Yeah. It's a weird sort of...
It's bringing a woman down in a way. It's sort of dirtying her, right?
Yes, there is a soiling, that goes on. Marina?
Yeah.
I don't totally trust this guy and this impulse. On the other hand, how old is he?
He's 31.
Now I was going to cut the guy some slack if he was 26.
Yeah.
31, it's kind of time to start stepping out of this role, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys? What?
Yeah.
How could I wean him off of it?
Well, how did you get into it? How did you get into this?
It was kind of like something that we started talking like naughty, like dirty, you know, and then it just got more and more, and then.
So he's been steering it in this direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't normally do this in your relationship.
No, this is the first guy I did this with.
All right, this guy, he brought it on. Okay, so this is something he needs. He's a fetishist a little bit.
A little bit.
And that often, if somebody's a healthy person, often feels a little funky, a little distant, a little exploitative.
Yeah, but this isn't him beating off while you step on roaches in stiletto heels. Although that could be just around the corner for you guys. I'll tell you what, you don't need to wean him off of it. You need to tell him that this is not the way you prefer to be intimate. And look, your birthday's coming up. I'll give you a little, wax a little poetic about who I'm planning on having sex with.
Yeah, a couple times a year, and that's it.
Yeah, a couple times a year. You got Christmas, and you got your birthday.
he's not being funny. He's being serious.
Yeah, feel free to do that.
Okay, because I talked about it, and I told him... Yeah, and it happens like once, like it'll happen after we talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. It'll happen that first time he won't go into the dirty talk, and we'll have just sex, and then it'll just start happening again. It's like
Does he have any trouble functioning when you don't do this?
No, like I know.
All right, then just tell him. Just feel free to tell him now.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah.
You got the you control the purse strings.
I understand.
You know?
You're feeling distance because of the fetishistic behavior, and that's the problem with it. So tell him to cut it out. Yeah. He doesn't have to have it. If he doesn't need it to function, then great. Fine.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, and then, by the way, when you do pull it out, it becomes a treat. Because everything just becomes relative. Mm-hmm. I mean, if every sexual act you had was a threesome with your fantasy partners, unfortunately, that would get old in 20 years, 30 years, 20 to 30, 20 to 35, 25 to 35 years.
24.
No, that would become old. It all becomes old. Everything. It's eat steak, surf and turf every night. You're going to get tired of it in a couple of weeks, you know? No problem. So that's it. This is a fantasy. And I think you start screwing up your intimacy when you start pulling out all the tricks every night. There's no place to go.
Mm.
Whereas for me...
You got lots of room.
Oh. I give my lady a little punch in the shoulder. Wow. Look at that foreplay. It's amazing. What's gotten into him? He must want something. All right, where are we, Drew? I want to talk to young Alex over here. Yeah. Alex?
Hello?
You're 14?
Hi.
Hi, baby doll. You're painfully shy around guys?
Yes, very.
Okay.
You sound quite forthcoming with us, quite assertive, right?
Okay, like...
Okay. You're forthcoming, assertive? Yeah. These are our calls.
We're not guys.
Okay, listen, Alex.
Mm-hmm?
Here's the thing about you ladies. You put too much pressure on yourselves.
Well, think how guys are at 14, talking to girls.
No, guys put a ton of pressure on themselves, but rightfully so. They got to push it along.
Yeah.
Girls, you have to be attractive to get the guy to come over and talk. Oh, if he does come over and talk, then you just nod your head.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, at some point there'll be a conversation, but that's not going to make or break him asking you out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think a lot of people think this is condescending. It's not. It's just the way it is. You know, some 14 or 15 year old guy is attracted to you. He's in your history class. He thinks you're cute, and he comes up and talks to you. All you got to do is not shut him down.
You know, I was just thinking about something,
and you'll be fine.
Yes, it's true. But I was just thinking about something. We were talking a lot tonight about how people have taken things so very seriously, and how kids need to calm down and stuff. Yeah, my kids go to a cotillion class, and I remember when we were, you know, when we were that age.
What is that? That's a religious thing?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
But listen, when we were that, we'd be like, oh, God, for God's sake. You know, just, oh, we'd be rebelling against it, be fighting it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kids, we take them, they're like, it's very, very serious about it. It's like, this is...
Really?
And it's like we've gone from being rebellious as kids to being trying to live up to something.
Yeah.
It's something that the kids aren't really thinking about if they want to live up to it or not, even when some of the things they're living up to are highly restrictive and highly...
What do you do with cotillion?
But sometimes it's living up in college and trying to live up to certain sexual standards they're not even sure they want to do. It's really not rebelling against. They're just trying to live up to what Cosmo says they should be doing. And
they know about consequences more now? You still have to experience it.
It's such a dramatic change in the whole sort of basic orientation.
What do you do with
perceptions?
You learn how to dance.
Dance.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Melinda's been there.
Had good times.
Oh, we had an episode called the Cotillion. So.
Oh. Don't they always have it at church, though?
No.
It's outside of church?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened, a gym or something?
Like a hotel or hotels or
really?
Or country clubs.
Cotillion.
Like
all the kids I knew went to the local church to learn that stuff. Well, maybe it's the only place that had like a ball, you know, wooden floor.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's it. Ty Pennington tomorrow night from Extreme Home Makeover. Melinda Clark on the OC. Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. You find out how they do it on the O.C.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fantastic.
Well, she lived in the O.C. You grew up in the O.C. too.
Yeah,
That's where she grew up.
Yeah, true, too.
Yeah,
basically.
Drew, grew up on K-Rock.
You guys may have had sex.
Sure. One of the keggers on the beach?
Drew drank pretty good and got around.
Did
pretty
he?
Good.
I did.
Pretty
I can't
good.
Remember.
I didn't. I wasn't quite like that.
Well, but Drew was a man of such extreme passion that his passion would have been enough for the two of you.
Okay, good.
You see what I'm
By
saying?
Myself.
Yeah.
By himself. That's right. Hasn't been in any strip clubs, but been in a few ladies. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, yeah.
We got to go.
All right. We'll take a quick break. So until next time, this is Adam Crowley for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.